CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to another fascinating personality who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here is Steve Klein.
Goethe said, "Knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are three Okies who apply and do. Our first Playmaker leads a company with more than 10,000 franchisees in 14 countries, while our next Playmakers have revolutionized the tea in addition to the lemonade business. With us today is the president of an organization that's been ranked the number one commercial cleaning franchise 24 times, while our next guests are co-founders of a 19-year-old tea company that's now in over 38 states. These great Playmakers are Jerry Crawford. Jerry is president of Janet King International. And Rick Shear and Jeff Ferris, they are co-founders of Teasers, and we're going to begin today's show with Rick and Jeff. Now, the Red River Tea Company began nearly 20 years ago when a personal observation turned into a professional passion. After graduating from the University of Oklahoma, Jeff Ferris worked for a frozen fruit juice company selling and servicing equipment at convenience stores. As an avid fan of fresh brewed tea, Jeff found the iced tea options in convenience stores lacking or non-existent. So he began exploring ways to bring a high-quality solution to market. He then recruited his friend and fellow University of Oklahoma grad, Rick Shear, and after moving to Dallas, both set out to revolutionize the tea business with a patented one-cup-at-a-time fresh-brewed tea system, and the Teasers brand was born. Well, Rick, Jeff, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Well, after doing some research on your company and understanding what you do, Texas is really the land of sweet tea. Why did it really take so long for tea options to be born and take off after you started back almost 20 years ago?
I think it's the lack of equipment options. It's pretty laborious to make your simple syrups, the way you would make it at home. Quite a few people do that, but to commercialize it, no one wants to make that simple syrup. So we developed some solutions with equipment innovations to bring sweet tea to the market.
Well, I'm going to ask you about that in just a moment, but while I'm thinking about it, we talked a little bit about it before the show started. Locally in the North Texas area, where would listeners find Teasers? What convenience stores?
You could find it at 7-Eleven or Quick Trip or any of the Easy Marts or the larger chains that we're in, as well as what we consider mom-and-pop locations.
But it isn't necessarily labeled as Teasers.
That's correct. We do private labeling as well.
Okay. Well, you have a unique product. You've been successful for 19 years. What makes Teasers different from other teas or other beverages?
Well, I think it's the marriage of equipment and product. We've prided ourselves on kind of developing solutions to make the equipment work with the product well. So I think that would be the innovation, and then of course the taste.
What makes your product unique? Now you've developed a proprietary blend. You've come up with equipment. Is that what makes you so unique?
I think it's our ability to actually work with the different skill sets from all of our customers, because we're utilizing equipment to make
their own equipment
to make fresh brewed tea, and all of them have different skill sets in terms of their ability to do it right. So we consider ourselves more as a consultant sales force, where we go in and find out where they're struggling and bring solutions to the table to brew fresh tea.
And not only that, you're going to have to go in there and adapt your equipment to what they have already. Is that correct?
Correct. And, you know, equipment could vary pretty substantially, so as well as the operational acumen of the people. So it's really, you know, we've got very simple solutions. Like, we created a starter kit which actually leverages existing coffee equipment and then brew tea into, you know, essentially coffee pots, but obviously they're labeled as tea, and just a hand mix is essentially what that is, similar to the, you know, sun tea you might make at home. So from the most basic application like that to the most innovative new piece of equipment that, you know, rebrews by itself and does a lot of other bells and whistles, we kind of span the spectrum of kind of operational capacity for our for our customers.
We'll see if we can make people thirsty here. So if they're listening in the car, they can drive over to one of the convenience stores. We're going to talk about your new product in just a few moments. But why is tea a better beverage than other beverages that are sold in the convenience stores? Now, this is your bailiwick, and this is right. Something you want everybody to be drinking nothing but tea. Why should they be drinking tea over a soft drink?
Yeah, it's a better alternative to a soft drink.
Why?
Well, for one, not only the perceived health benefits, but the actual health benefits. Teas are naturally one of the best sources for what they call a polyphenol, which is an antioxidant, which has a lot of health properties to it. And from media sources, it's becoming better known. So people are gravitating from carbonated soft drinks to a non-carb tea offering. And, everyone was raised on it, certainly in the South, in their homes. And we are just trying to commercialize that and get better solutions to make it available at every corner shop in the country.
Well, we are speaking with Rick Shear and Jeff Ferris. They are co-founders of a company called Teasers. If you'd like to take a look at Teasers, they're at teasers.com, and that's spelled T-E-A-Z-Z-E-R-S. That's teasers.com. But you've come up with a new product. Talk about the new product you're putting into the stores.
Yeah, as we pride ourselves on the innovation that actually was the foundation of our company, about a year and a half ago, what I call another light bulb moment came on to where we were able to develop and write a patent on utilizing commercial tea brewing equipment to make fresh lemonade. And, what we've learned over the past 20 years is the capital is not cheap. And for large companies to capitalize brewing equipment, it's a challenge at times. So, we figured that we could improve our revenue and improve our customers' ROI on existing equipment. And in particular, one customer was wanting to repurpose their existing equipment, making it more profitable. So we devised a solution to, again, make fresh lemonade through commercial tea brewers.
Well, you have something called a puck system that you develop, which has both gelatin or frozen form. So what's the puck system?
So you think of it in terms of its lemon essence. So how the commercial tea brewers work with tea bags is hot tea is dispensed through the bag, and then you have a concentrated tea that then is mixed with ambient water, or in the case of sweet tea, it'd be sweetened water. So by using the lemon puck in the same way as the tea bag, concentrated lemon is mixed with the ambient sweetened water, which is essentially how you make lemonade. So it's technically, a fresh brewed lemonade, which, it tastes very well. And I think the freshness aspect of it really comes through in the cup.
So it truly is being brewed.
It is.
Now, are you into the convenience stores right now with your, Teasers Freezers? Is that what you're calling it?
No, we have one product line called Teasers Freezers, which kind of goes back to my history of frozen fruit drinks. Now, the new product line is called Teasers Squeeze. And, we
got to get those Z's in there.
You have to get the Z's, and it's a good play on words. And, that's you squeeze lemons to make lemonade. So, we're trying to grow the brand. And to answer your question, yes, we have started rolling this out into one of the larger C-store chains in the nation.
Well, you have a few other varieties, too, and hot teas, and chai, is it chai teas?
Chai.
Chai tea, yes. C-H-A-I. Talk about those a little bit.
Yeah, again, just trying to find solutions for all of our customers and, again, increase our revenue. We bring different products for whether it be to make up seasonality, where iced tea may drop off some. Typical chai teas are a hot beverage, although they're becoming more popular iced as well, as iced coffee is. So again, it's finding more solutions to merchandise better for you tea beverages within the C-store channel.
I would think up north, when it gets nice and cool in the wintertime, they prefer to have the hot tea rather than the frozen tea, so you have an alternative there for them too. But how have you secured industry relationships with firms like 7-Eleven? That's a big company to get involved with.
Yeah, I think stick-to-itness. We first started calling on that particular company back in 1997, and about a year and a half ago, finally actually started selling them their tea products. And
That's the essence of perseverance.
It is. And, you know, I think that do what you say and say what you do, and I think integrity is something that we try to put forth in our company. And our customers know that, and we develop long-term relationships. So it's good to have started with this group, but we have customers very long-standing.
Well, it seems like what you've done is not only developed a product, but what you do is not the taste, it's not the product, it's a service that you're giving your customers, as you talked about before, with the consulting where you go in and help them actually solve a problem and give them a solution.
That's correct.
Correct, because one solution certainly doesn't fit every customer.
It's different for each one.
Exactly.
It's a unique situation.
Everyone has their pros and cons and things they do well and things they don't do as well and they'd like to improve on. So, you know, we like to tailor a solution to a customer and make them successful.
So you have a number of products, the teasers, squeezers has now out. What's on the horizon for teasers? What's coming next? Is there something coming next? Is there something you can talk about without letting the cat out of the bag?
I would say certainly within the teaser squeeze model, there's certainly other beverages that could be prepared the same way, from, you know, a coconut water to, you know, things of that nature, anything with pulp in it. So there's certainly lots of avenues that the squeeze concept can pursue in the future. And, you know, we're just kind of making an innovative, we're trying to get our innovative production facility up running now, you know, so we're kind of expanding and putting some new kind of back-end things in play.
Seems like there's a lot of alternatives. On the way to the studio today, I saw a billboard for, I believe it was 7-Eleven, where they had vitamin water.
Yep.
So there are a tremendous amount of different types of drinks out there, mm-hmm. but right now your drinks are only from the fountain.
That's
correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. And with that said, we are looking at doing the enhanced waters with this patented process that we've developed for the teaser squeeze platform. So that's certainly on our horizon.
So more to come from teasers. So Rick and Jeff, tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about your company.
Well, you certainly call us or go to teasers.com, two Z's.
Two Z's is teasers.com. You can also check on our website, playmakerstalkshow.com. We have the phone number. We have the website there, and you can check it out there. And Jeff, Rick, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
very
much, Steve.
Yeah. Again, we had Rick Shear and Jeff Ferris. They are co-founders of a company called Red River Tea Company. And the website is teasers, teazzers.com. Don't go away. We have more in store. We're going to talk to the king of clean. He is a president of Janet King. His name is Jerry Crawford. We'll be back with Jerry right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple, to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're going to speak with a gentleman who said there says there is money in dirt. His name is Jerry Crawford. He's been the president of Janet King International since 1996. He also serves as president of Janet King Incorporated. Now, the company was founded in 1969. It was born when its founder, Jim Cavanaugh, befriended a nighttime janitor and discovered there was an untapped opportunity to help that janitor grow his business by signing new customers for him to service. Now, Jerry joined Janet King of Oklahoma in 1987. In 1988, was promoted to the corporate headquarters in Dallas, responsible for marketing and supporting master franchises in the United States and abroad. And he served as president of Janet King Franchising Incorporated. And again, now he is president of Janet King. Jerry, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here, Steve.
Well, you were working with Tandy Corporation, which everybody in North Texas knows, prior to joining Janet King. Why did you make the move to work with the King of Clean?
Well, my major had been in computer science in college, and I actually was owner of a software company, NCR Licensed Software Company. And when this new thing called a PC came back out, that may date me a little bit, with 5 megabyte of disk, I thought, man, we had it all going our way. But what happened in the computer industry and the software industry, it just kept changing. And then this guy named Bill Gates came along with this thing called Microsoft, and it just keeps changing. And so I decided back then I would look around. I joined Tandy Corporation. They had, you know, a great deal of business there in the Oklahoma territory in Oklahoma City. And from there, I worked a lot of hours and decided I'd like to get involved where I could also have some ownership. And I met Mr. Cavanaugh, who owned Janet King at that time, and he was looking for somebody to oversee the Oklahoma City region. And I accepted the offer, and I've never regretted it, and it's been a great opportunity. It's a great company, and there's tens of thousands of employees of Janet King franchisees around the globe. And it's just been an honor to serve as CEO and president of that company.
Now, when you began to operate the Janet King of Oklahoma, had Janet King moved to Dallas at that point?
No. Our headquarters was in Dallas, but the each region that we're in has a regional support office. So I was overseeing the Oklahoma City region as one of the regional directors throughout the United States.
Well, I'm fascinated by the history. I'd like to talk a little bit about Mr. Cavanaugh just for a second in terms of the beginning of it. How did Janet King evolve from him working with one janitor to a multi-billion-dollar company worldwide with all the franchisees?
Well, glad you asked that, because it's all about his vision, his passion, his tenacity back in those days, and his excitement about what he saw in this dirt business, in the janitorial business. And there were just a lot of unhappy customers, and there are still unhappy customers today. There's a lot of turnover in the janitorial industry. It's a service business. But Mr. Cavanaugh came up with a concept that he pioneered that's our model today, and it's called our owner-operator concept. And the difference in Janet King and the conventional companies is that we have people with pride of ownership, and that produces the performance that people are looking for in their businesses. That makes sure that, you know, we say trust your keys to the company, who cares, because they also have a vested interest in their company. So it was his vision, Mr. Cavanaugh's vision, when he found this company, and he worked it. He slept in the back of his car. He sold accounts. And he grew this company in Oklahoma, then later moved it to our headquarters to Dallas, Texas, where we're at today. But got to give him the credit, because he's still involved and he still has that same passion, and he's just very knowledgeable about our industry.
Well, not only in the cleaning business, but he had to have been cutting edge in the franchising industry too, because we're looking back in the 70s, and outside of maybe fast food franchises, there weren't that many outside the food industry. So that was something that was relatively new, if I'm correct.
It was something that I had the pleasure of going to 28 countries on what's called International Franchise Association trade missions. Everywhere we went with these franchise companies on trade missions, we met with people who were interested in investing in the American dream. You could own your own business and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. So it was just really kind of special to be in those earlier years where franchising, when you went to, you had to educate people about what franchising was all about. It was simply cloning a proven concept. Didn't matter if it was a tea business or it was a janitorial business. You were proving it and opening up and expanding and opening new locations. So It's been a very viable and a great model for us in the cleaning business, and it's just been an honor to be involved and travel and help people get into business for themselves and be successful.
Well, you mentioned about the expansiveness of Janet King, but how expansive are you? How much of the globe do you cover?
We've got more than 10,000 franchisees on all five continents. We're in 13 or 14 countries today, and we're continuing our expansion. And it's just amazing to me to see that these people service more than 60,000 customer locations worldwide. So it's exciting to continue to see it expand and grow.
As large as you are, it seems like there's a tremendous amount of potential for Janet King out there because, as you mentioned, there's money in dirt, and there's dirt everywhere.
Money in dirt, and every place that I land in an airplane, doesn't matter what country or what city, all you have to do when you're landing is look around at all the cranes that are still building new business. Mm-hmm. You know what, Steve? Somebody's got to clean those businesses, and people want them cleaned right.
So the potential is there, and if you do it right, they stay with you. How do you support your franchisees? You've been talking about that because Janet King supports them so well, probably as good, if not better, than most franchise companies. What do you do for them?
Well, the first thing, you've got to educate and train your franchise owners. So we have a very extensive initial training and education program, but then we have customized online videos, training videos, educational videos. We continue to roll out programs and train our franchisees. There's always new chemicals. There's always new equipment. And it's all about production rate. You know, our biggest cost in the cleaning business for a franchisee is the labor cost. So anything we can do to clean more efficiently and quicker makes more money for our franchisees. And it's a competitive business. We can go in to bid a large office building or a hospital or a school. Doesn't matter. And there may be 10, 15, 20 other bidders. So we have to be, as we say, the best at what we do.
I want to talk about that in a moment, but again, we're speaking with Jerry Crawford. Jerry is president of Janet King, and the website is Janet King, JANIKing.com, to find out anything you want to find out about Janet King with their services, locations, green cleaning, etc. But you mentioned the different industries. By looking at your website, you're covering a lot. I'm just looking at it right now, general office, manufacturing, retail. How many different industries or types of cleaning do you do?
You know, it's a good question. We have actually started years ago what we call specialty industry divisions in our corporate headquarters. And just starting there, I can tell you that while we clean office buildings and general cleaning, we also have what's called an EVS or Environmental Services Division. And that's where we get into the medical, and we clean hospitals.
Because that has to be much different than cleaning an office.
You have to have certain certifications before you can even step in to clean an emergency room. You know, there's infectious control. There's all kinds of medical certifications, and these hospitals can literally get shut down if they're not cleaned properly. So we have our own customized medical certification program to clean hospitals throughout the country. So we have a division headed up by a gentleman named Mark Regner right now, who oversees that division, and his team out of corporate works with our regional offices throughout the world, and we clean EVS facilities. We specialize in hospitality. That's timeshares, motels, hotels, resorts, and we clean 300 and some different types of these facilities just in the U.S., and we have a very large hospitality division in Australia and other countries around the world. We also have the sporting venues. Obviously, we clean the world's largest indoor sporting venue, and that's
right here locally.
Used to be Cowboys Stadium, now AT&T Stadium. And, you know, it's quite interesting to just see the hundreds of people that it takes to clean that facility and keep it. It's a beautiful stadium, as you know. We're very proud of that. That's the icon in that industry for us. And we clean many other NFL, NBA, MLB, Major League Baseball. We clean the Rangers Stadium right here in Dallas. Or I should say in not Dallas, but their neighboring city here that we all over it. And I also we have the other, like Lone Star Park, many horse-racing facilities, bowling alleys, manufacturing, international airports, and the list goes on and on, Steve.
So if I'm a franchisee and if I don't know how to do that, there's somebody within Janet King that can show me how to do that, or I can be involved in the chemicals and the way to actually clean those different facilities.
That's exactly right. If you've got a customer that's got that old aggregate floor with a polyurethane finish on it, We've got the operations expertise to work in the field, to go out with our people in the field and consult with them as to how's the best way to clean that floor.
Well, you've been very involved with, as you mentioned before, the International Franchise Association for most of your career at Janet King. And I've had a number of people on the show who are franchisees, very involved, the IFA and VetFran with that too. But why is it important for franchisors to be active with the IFA?
Well, I'll just give you my own example. In about 1989 or 90, our owner, Jim Cavanaugh, gave me some leads and said, take us international. I looked at him and said, how do I do that? He said, well, I think you need to get involved in the International Franchise Association. I called up the president, Bill Cherkasky, back then and said, I was told to go international and find some master franchises in foreign markets, and I was told to call you. He said, you need to get involved in the IFA. The next thing I knew, I was traveling on trade missions, and we met the people at the embassies and the foreign markets and had investors and prospects I was doing presentations to, and I was speaking in front of 300 or 400 people over in Singapore or wherever, and it just kept going, and you build relationships. It's like anything else. People do business with people they like. So built all those relationships, started selling master franchises, and the next thing you know, a third of our revenue is now overseas. So we got involved in the franchise association. Doesn't matter if it's a retail restaurant association or franchising, it's the industry we're in. So we've got at our convention, annual convention, 4,000-plus people that come, and I've had the privilege of introducing three presidents as the keynote speaker, and it's been a trip, so to speak, that's just been an honor to be a part of.
It sounds like you're excited about that. Just before we finish, I want to ask you one more question, because most people didn't really know Jim Cavanaugh's name or didn't know that he started Janet King, but his name is synonymous with a museum that you're involved with here in the area. Talk about the Flight Museum.
Well, Cavanaugh Flight Museum. For years, Mr. Cavanaugh has been gathering historic aircraft, and he now has almost 70. He's bought 3 or 4 just within the last probably year to 18 months. And this historic aviation aircraft, a lot of them have war history. A lot of them fly. He's won awards at the world's largest air show in Oshkosh, a grand champion with a B-25 and his P-51 that he personally loves to fly. And Doug Jeans is the head guy over at our museum, and it's just exciting to see the flyovers at Cowboys at AT&T Stadium or Rangers Stadium, and being on the board of directors there, I just get to be a part of it, and I appreciate being a pilot as well. So
now you know that the Cavanaugh Flight Museum was started by the man that started Janet King. Jerry, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. It's an honor to be on your show. Thank you.
Jerry Crawford is president of Janet King, and it's janetking.com. This has been a terrific show. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been great having our guests on the show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting playmakers.